There we are. Well, good evening and welcome to the March Public Works Advisory Board meeting in the city of Morro Bay. I'd like to welcome us to our new location and welcome our new member to my right, down one seat, Mr. John Jaroslawski. This will be a little bit different because we don't have a flag with us. So if everybody would mind just standing and we'll just face forward and say the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you, everyone. Acceptance of agenda. Has everyone had time to look over the agenda? And there you go. You got a motion? We don't need a second. A second. We have a second from Mr. Lemons, if you were able to catch that. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Very good. Agenda is accepted. Written communications. Let's note that we have a written communication from the Citizens Bike Committee, and I believe that's our only one. Is that correct? Thank you. And do we have members in the audience? Okay. Press the button there so the green light comes on. You'll be on. There you go.
Regarding the bike letter, if we could identify the cost of sponsoring a bike rack, it might encourage donors. It can't be that expensive. And another thing I noticed, although they might be less attractive, there are lots of different precast concrete bike racks and plastic bike racks that are very inexpensive to purchase and install. That might be it's one of my comments in the letter.
Okay. Thank you. It's now time for public comments and presentations. Members of the audience wishing to say anything about any pertinent matter that's not printed on the agenda are welcome to step up to the microphone and do so now, and please limit to 3 minutes if you have something to say. No one in the audience for public comment. All right, on to the next one, consent calendar. Has everyone had a chance to read the minutes from... Had a minute?
I have a change I'd like to make in an addition.
Okay.
And I wrote it out this time to make it easy, but there's the sentence that some concerns raised by the board included public input, economic impacts, and I think there were two types of concerns and economic impacts. There were the ones such as that John and Bill raised that if you go ahead, it's going to cost money, and there was the comments I made and which had a different thrust. So I would suggest after the response, after that paragraph that says their direction had been to brainstorm and put together what the community wanted in their vision of the future, add the following statement. Dorfman clarified his comment on economic impact, stating he did not expect the 2020 committee to address impacts. Rather, he suggested that the report recommend that an economic impact analysis be done as part of, because that's what happened and I thought it was important.
The differentiation of what you,
yeah.
were pointing out.
And then when they read the minutes, they'll see there is a way to address impacts without discussing each item by having that recommendation. So if that's, but if that's acceptable to other people.
Does anyone have any objections to that addition to the minute, staff?
Well, my only comment is it's somewhat long. And is it would it be fair to say that you clarified that you did not expect the 2020 subcommittee to analyze finances, but rather, I mean, because it's, and we're doing synopsis minutes where we're supposed to keep it short and reflect the action of the board.
And maybe agenda, when I get to agenda, if this comes up, then maybe I want to agendize minutes, because I think what happens with synopsis minutes is that sometimes it is a way of communicating, and when there's a point that that need to communicate comments, sometimes adding a sentence or two, which is not going to be any longer, not going to go over the page, gives some information about the discussion. I think synopsis minutes, since the council really doesn't look at the tape, I think not in each and every case, but I think sometimes I feel that there is an important point to be made here. But if you say the same thing and shorten it, is what was that what you were saying? Okay, well, read it again, because I was trying to facilitate.
Dorfman clarified he did not expect the 2020 subcommittee to analyze finances, but rather a separate analysis.
Hold everything. I suggest that Mr. Dorfman or Dr. Dorfman write out what he wants to change and put it in there.
I did. See, okay. That's the... I think it's about 10 more words.
As a suggestion, would it be all right to minimize the change to the minutes and be more specific in any motion that we would have tonight for council?
Well,
because I'm hoping that because that's
okay,
on the agenda.
Well, all I'm suggesting is adding that paragraph to this paragraph, and that's it. Just adding these about 30 words.
Okay, so that was his motion. That was Mr. Dorfman's motion, the paragraph that he read. Is there a second for the motion?
No. Okay.
There is not a second. So let's try it again when we come down to actual motion for the council, and maybe you'll be able to get those comments in. John?
You're adding that to our minutes of the last meeting.
Yes.
Yeah, I
second that.
John will second the motion. So can I have a vote, please? All in favor of accepting the minutes with the amendment read by Mr. Dorfman, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? None opposed. Motion carries. And I think Mr. Dorfman's going to bring staff the written statement so that they can include that into the minutes. Okay, at this point we need item 6B is modification of our bylaws. And I appreciate everyone's support for, if anyone doesn't know, there was a little family emergency for me and everyone's been very supportive of trying to move things along and keeping our meeting a little bit short for my benefit, and I really appreciate it. Thanks, guys. Mr. Director's report. Mr. Director report reader. How's that? Mr. Boucher, did you want to start?
I'd be more than happy to, Madam Chair.
Thank you, sir.
A couple items on the hit parade tonight. As you may or may not have heard, the entry sculpture that's been underway for a year and a half or so is the council decided to discuss that again at their next meeting. Frank and I met with one of the artists today and plan to have all the questions on the intersection site distance answered by tomorrow morning. The waterfront boardwalk actually kind of changing, we're proposing to change the name from boardwalk because we're really not proposing to make it out of boards to harbor walk since it's a walk along the harbor. We did identify an additional $124,000 for design. So we submitted the paperwork to Caltrans on that this morning and hope to have that money rolling in, or at least the obligation for that money to roll in within a couple of weeks. I'm finishing up now the request for proposals for the preparation of construction plans and hope to have that on the street by the end of the week. The sewer system master plan that we postponed last winter because we didn't get the rains, and we put the meters out again this year for a month and got two rains, been ongoing much longer than the sculpture. We did the slip lining of the Atascadero Road line in December 4th, 2000. Met today with the company that was responsible for repairing the leaks when they put the slip liner inside the pipe, and then they had to come back and cut where the lateral connections were. We got leaks at those lateral connections. They came back several times trying to repair them. Met with bad success, for about 2 years and finally got it to where they say it works. Then they did a video to evidence that it didn't leak anymore, but they did it when the groundwater level was below the pipe, which really isn't going to tell you if groundwater is infiltrating. So at our urging now for the past 11 months, we've been telling them that's all very well and good, but we need you to video the pipe while the groundwater is above the pipe so that it would actually be entering. He came by today for out of the Palm Desert area, and we hope to be doing that within a matter of days. The school district water negotiations, as you recall, we're putting in a couple of irrigation wells on the high school property. We've got the wells installed right now, but none of the electrics or the piping is in. Because the piping system is pretty disruptive, the trenching operations down the driveway, we aren't going to do that work until the high school's on their spring break, which is 2.5 weeks hence. So we'll be doing the piping work while school's not in session. The Rock restroom. Once there was one restroom at the Rock, now there is one restroom at the Rock. No one shed a tear when the old one went away. The new one is up and running. There's a couple of punch list items that don't affect the operability of the restroom.
I think last month I had mentioned that we had excavated. We were ready to pour footings. Those footings have been poured. We're now actually backfilling within those circular footings for the placement of the tanks. And we're also aggressively excavating. We've actually completed the excavation. Starting tomorrow, we'll actually be placing the rebar for the retaining wall that goes around both the west and the south side of those tanks. So we're moving along. I would tend to say we're not exactly on track, but we're within a week of our schedule. And the schedule was to try to get those tanks up and running and have water available for the July 4th weekend. So I'll keep you posted, but it looks like there's a couple opportunities coming up to make up a little time. So I have faith we'll meet that time frame. The other thing I mentioned last month was I gave a little heated warning about a lot of construction going on. So I wanted to thank everybody for bearing with us. We have new sidewalks and several new ADA ramps along Main Street there at Surf, along Dune Street there just west of Shasta, and over at Pacific and Napa. So, you know, a few improvements, and a lot of several of them have some good ADA ramps and so on and so forth. The other thing I wanted to report was our maintenance crews installed. Remember, we had a flurry of a couple accidents out on South Bay Boulevard back in the wet winter months and so on and so forth. We had formed a little, you know, traffic safety committee, myself, police chief, DeRohan, and Mike Pond, to kind of meet on some of these accidents that do occur, just to kind of walk through them and see if there's anything that can be done. We agreed to put in these.
Want to have any questions for either Mr. Boucher or Mr. Cunningham?
Just I guess, Phil, there was some follow-up, although it was after, I think, the date of this, on retained the public services on the personnel items. There was quite a discussion about, remember, we said it's fine to charge from the water funds, and I thought the city council took some action.
Yes, they did. The city council transferred myself, Mr. Cunningham's position, and one of the utility billing clerks to the water fund.
One reason I bring it up, a couple people approached me about that from my area with some distress, and I went through, which I'm saying this just for the public, that we did discuss it and say quite clearly, or asked quite clearly, how it would work, and I think it was clear that there was work to be done in the water system, and it will just mean the future projects or work will get done sooner, because there is no sense in having staff be paid out of city funds to work on things we can't do because we don't have the money. And I think it was very helpful that we, at least for me to explain that we discussed it, and I hope helped the council. So.
Are there any questions for either staff members?
John? I have one question.
John, go ahead.
Is anything ever going to come about Shandon?
Ever, Mr. Lyons?
Yeah, ever.
Negotiating with the Central Coast Water Authority regarding physical capacity in the system above and beyond what's currently contracted. But I don't know anything beyond that.
Thank you.
Is that it for staff? All right. I want to, at this point, I believe the people, the folks that are in the audience are here for item 9 under new business, consideration of adoption procedures for collection of delinquent solid waste accounts. Is that true? Is it possible for us to switch item 8 and item 9, switch the 2020 recommendation with the new business item?
I think a quick motion would do just that.
Okay. Do we have a motion?
Yes. Yeah, so moved.
So moved. Mr. Olson has made a motion. Any seconds? Who was it? It was Mr. Dorfman, Dr. Dorfman, excuse me, that seconded the motion. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye, that's unanimous. Thank you, folks. So now we'll move on to item, the new item 8, new business, consideration of adoption procedures for collection of delinquent solid waste accounts. And this is staff member Janine Burlingame. And it says here, proposal to provide collection of delinquent bills via placing tax lien on property. So, Janine.
Thank you and good evening. As is mentioned, you have an item before you tonight for considering to adopt procedures, or actually recommend to the City Council to adopt procedures for a collection of delinquent solid waste accounts. At the end of last year, the Morrowbie Garbage Service controller Tom Martin had brought to the city's attention the issue with the delinquent accounts has the residents for the service. Mr. Martin had also noted at that time that there were some other areas within the county, the city of San Luis Obispo, Los Osos, Oceano, and I think Cayucas, that have provisions within their solid waste ordinances that deal with delinquent accounts. And the majority of them are with this tax lien approach. And, excuse me, attached with your staff report is the language from the various solid waste ordinances from San Luis and Los Osos, as well as a section within the agreement in Cayucas that outlines the process and procedure that they go through on an annual basis to identify those delinquent accounts that are beyond a certain date. I think it's 120 days, so that's like 6 months. The garbage company, they go through their usual billing process, their usual collection process to try to get these accounts current. Once a year, they put together a list of those who are delinquent. They go through a process of notifying these people that they're delinquent, what the amount is, and give them a final date to which to comply and to make their payment and become current again. At which time, if that date comes and goes and there's still somebody who's in the delinquent column, what they then do is prepare a list that they send to the city stating that these are the people that are still delinquent, the amount, who the property owner is, what the assessor's parcel number is, and then the city certifies that and forwards it on with a request to the county assessor to have that be placed on the property tax. Four people that you go through this whole process and there's only 4 to 9 accounts that actually go through to have a lien put on it. So it can reduce a lot of time that the garbage company has to take. It would be able to increase the amount of revenue that comes to the garbage company, which means they would need less in terms of the operating costs that they then have to pass on to the public, the ratepayers. So there is a benefit to doing that. And Tom Martin is here in the audience tonight. If you have any particular questions about the program or how it works in some of the other areas, or any other particular questions with regard to this, and I'd like to turn it back over to the board for any questions or comments that you may have and recommendation to the council.
Okay. Does anyone on the board have questions for Janine just at this point?
Yeah, I would.
Yeah, Bob, go ahead.
Silly me.
It takes a little while to get used to it.
Yeah, I'm a new kid on the block.
All right.
Is there any way that we could add the cost of processing the lien? You know, we have registered letters, we have staff time, and also interest rates on the loan that we could add to the lien. Make it just a little more powerful, a little more incentive for these people to pay.
I think I'd like to ask Tom to come up and answer that question, because I know in some of the other jurisdictions there is a cost associated with that process.
Okay.
And how some of the other jurisdictions may deal with it, whether it's something garbage company bears or whether it's something that's incorporated in with the lien itself.
Tom, would you mind introducing yourself and letting everybody know where you're from, so those who are at home and watch?
Well, once a year we put together a list, and they you know, have to prepare a one-page item for the council to look at, and it's relatively minor. But that all does get totaled up and sent as a tax lien, so that then that comes back as revenue and offsets those costs, so that the people who are driving the costs are actually paying for them.
But I would just like to clarify that the process, which sounds fine, you don't do it then on a flow basis, because that was one of the concerns. It's much easier, I think, efficient for city personnel if they get it once, and that's what you
said. Yeah, just one time a year we put together the list.
And they put it on to the county assessor or clerk?
Well, the process is we're required to send out a certified letter so that we make sure that they know that, you know, that it's coming. Then it goes to the city, and the city does that process, sending certified letters so that the people know that it's coming up on a council agenda item.
Okay, and is there any reimbursement to the, because they're not all cities, some are community service districts, I guess, but is there any reimbursement to the...
At the present time, no. The cost of the certified letters and preparing them is borne by the city or the CSD, whoever does it.
And how long is the list of individuals right now?
Well, in the city of San Luis Obispo, I have 10,000 customers.
Yeah.
And there are 23 people that went on the list last year, and narrowed down to about 13 by the time we finally got to public.
So it's more a program that sounds preventive rather than has much in the way of cost of actually operating.
It just gives us a hammer. Right now, they can tell us to go pound sand, and there's nothing we can do.
How does it work if I'm a tenant?
When I request that I bill the tenant, then I'm more than willing to do that. And then I also, the homeowner can request a double bill so that they get a copy of what's happening at their tenants, at their property they own, whatever the tenant is doing, so that they know if they're keeping up on it.
And so finally, if a tenant isn't paying it came with. In other words, the landlord says, oh, we'll pay the garbage, and the landlord doesn't, the tenant is not affected in any way. Their garbage will still be collected. They don't get tied up in this lien. It goes to the property owner.
In order for it to work, it has to be the property owner.
Which is fine. I just am thinking of the renters. No, this is very helpful.
And the property management firms are aware of who ends up with it, so they're keeping up on who's, you know, they generally call us and say before they return a deposit or anything like that, they're saying, is this guy paid up?
Do you have an estimate of how many accounts, again, in Morro Bay you think are delinquent?
I believe the count was, the dollar figure is like 24 grand.
It was about 24,000. At the end of 2004, and that represented about 190 customers.
190,
yes. Okay, because there were 90 days past due.
And when you implemented in other places, what was the process of getting the word out?
We mailed a letter to every property owner in the city, and then obviously there was a public hearing, so that notice as well went out. And then what we do is we don't know whether you're an owner or a tenant currently. What we've done is then we go back and search the records, and we know we switch everything over to the
person for you. And you guys are under contract with the city, I would assume, right?
Yes.
In your contract with the city, is there a clause for bad debt, for a percentage of bad debt that you would carry per year or anything like that?
In terms of the rate making manual, it's an allowable expense.
Okay, so if through the staff assistance, if you were to go below that number, would the city get some of those costs back, or would it go to the homeowner, or what would happen if you go, say you have a 5% or whatever it is allotted clause in your contract for bad debt, if you're down to 1% and the city is assisting you to get down to 1% through these liens or whatever method that we might use, where does that 4% from your contract go? Would it go back to the city?
No, it would go into the rate-making process, and you just ended up raising rates 3.97% just a month ago. It would go into the rate-making process, and If it was a 4% savings in bad debt, then there'd be no rate increase for that year. It would go to offset actual.
So the rate increase for the year is based on a yearly inflation as well as how much bad debt you're carrying?
In base years, they look at everything. In the in-between years, we just look at cost of living.
Okay.
So every third year is a base year.
Yeah, I just hate to see rates go up based on cost of living, and at the same time we're decreasing the amount of bad debt that you're carrying and have it basically, I mean, it'd be great for you guys, you'd have more revenue coming in, but at the same time, it'd be great for the city if we're assisting to reduce your bad debt, that the, you know, you could look at it and make it so that the rates don't go up percentage-wise or whatever.
If you enact tax lien method of collecting the bills, whenever we calculate in any given year what the rate increase should be, we'll subtract off what the bad debt rate.
A man with a question on your face. John, I've got a couple things I wanted to bring up with a discrepancy between owner and tenant. Now, in my particular case, I'm a renter, but I have a rental agreement that makes very clear that I'm responsible for utilities. So utilities are in my name. If I understand it right, garbage service has to be in existence. Is that, I mean, you have to have garbage service. There's no way out of garbage service.
Correct. It's mandatory.
So if, like happens a lot of times, if a tenant is responsible for the garbage bill, they blow it off, don't pay it, move, at what point does somebody know to convert it to an owner's name? Or, you know, I mean,
we do that process up front so that if you enact this ordinance and go to tax lien, we would notify every property owner in the city of Morro Bay. And we'd say, you're going to ultimately be responsible for this bill. Now, if you would prefer that I bill the tenant, we're happy to bill somebody else.
Right, right. You might be happy, but that doesn't cover the legality between the tenant and the landlord. Because you might say, well, we'll bill the tenant for you, and the landlord may say, sure, bill the tenant. But where's the tenant legally notified in that process? Unless you see, you don't have any way of knowing what the legal agreement between the tenant and the landlord is. And as long as the landlord says, yeah, bill the tenant, how does the tenant know they're accepting responsibility for that? That's not my situation. I'm just saying I just saw a little gap in that, and I know a lot of renters, the landlord pays it.
Yeah.
In most rentals probably. Would you say?
Well, I'm not sure that the tenant ever has to accept responsibility for paying it. The property owner has the right to go after the tenant if they have a contractual arrangement with their tenant.
Sure. Right. What I was talking about was when you said you would send it directly to the tenant on the landlord's say-so. But you have no way of making sure that the tenant is truly responsible for that. You're going to have a few landlords possibly say, yeah, send it to my tenant. And the tenant's like, wait a minute, I'm not responsible for it. Now the tenant is responsible for protecting themselves from a bill that they legally, I mean, they would have a rental agreement that says, no, I'm not responsible for it. But the tenant would then have to take the steps to defend that. I mean, I know that might be a wild one, and it might not, you know, be a problem. I was just trying to look at.
Yeah, to be honest with you, in any of the cities we converted, that issue has not come
up. It's never come up. That's good. That's comforting to know. And also, you are required to have a garbage service, right? We can't opt out of it in the city. That's
if you have a water meter, you have to have garbage service.
Yes, that's the way the current ordinance is written is that it's mandatory, and to determine who is responsible for the billing charges, it's tied to water service.
Okay. And the lien process, I think you explained the recovery costs and that kind of thing. The garbage company has to pick up the garbage cans whether somebody's paid or not. Is that where part of the problem comes in?
That's correct.
The guys on the truck are not going to know what cans not to pick up. There's probably is there contractual obligation for the company they have to pick up?
We have to pick it up whether we get paid or not.
Okay, so that's where you get stuck with the bill and our rates go up because we have 100 and some people that won't pay their bill.
Yeah. Currently, if you look at it right, if it were $20,000 the loss, which is about what's on the books right now, you're talking about every citizen in Morro Bay paying an extra $5 a year to cover the deadbeats.
Okay.
I mean, that's really what.
So, do we need? Yeah, Dr. Dorfman, go
ahead. Wanted to clarify.
Is your microphone on, Barry?
No. Is it working now?
Yeah.
One, in response, because I think it's a good point about people getting caught, have you ever sent a collection letter to a tenant?
Oh, we do all the time, yes.
Oh, okay.
They'll probably send it to whoever's on the account.
Yeah, we send it to whoever is currently on the account. And if we have trouble collecting, then we'll go down to the courthouse, look up the property owner, and we'll send the property owner notice, too. But currently, we don't have a hammer to make the property owner pay or anybody pay.
I think it's getting at the tenant-landlord, because I think ultimately the property owner is the system where the property owner is responsible is the most sensible. Have you ever sent a tenant to collection?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
We do all the time.
So I guess even though you say it's never come up, I am concerned that puts tenants in the, you say it hasn't come up, and in the potential situation that the landlord does give their name and they're going to end up going to collections in their credit when they didn't agree to it.
Well, once you go to the tax lien process, we really don't send anybody to collection anymore because this lien process is here. Once a year we handle it through the tax lien process, and we don't bother with a collection agency. There's no point.
The other question, and it had to do with what was raised about the rate. If we just went through a base rate, that was the rate.
That's correct.
As I understood what you said, to just make that clear, because I think that's a good deal for the city.
And just keep in mind that when you enact this ordinance, you're talking about a year later before we start actually dealing with the real the end result.
Thank you.
Go ahead, Bill.
All right. Having been a landlord and having had a deadbeat tenants, I don't think there's anything here for us to worry about, because if the tenant doesn't pay it and it ends up a tax lien, then the owner of the building has to pay it, of course. Then it's up to him to take care of this thing between, it's just something else to deal with and this deadbeat tenant. So it's not our problem. It's a landlord and tenant problem. So we're not into that.
Yeah. Something that Barry had said made me think of something. I mean, there might be a lot of people that don't understand what a lien is, what that really means. I've heard stranger things where property owners don't quite know what things mean. Would you mind, one of the staff or one of you, just kind of basically explain that means you've got a hold on the value of your property? You can't sell it or do anything with it because you guys would get your money first.
That's correct. And on your property tax bill that you get from the county every November or October, whenever they send them out, there is a line item on there that says garbage tax lien. And it's just included as part of your tax bill.
So in case there's any questions on what that really means, if you're a property owner and you don't pay your garbage bill and it goes to this, don't try to sell your house. just pay the bill and let's keep the rates as low as they can be. Okay, is there any other discussion? John, did you have anything else you'd say? I'm sorry.
I would move we recommend the council consider.
Microphone, Bear.
I would move that we recommend the consider adoption of procedures for collection of delinquent solid waste accounts using the ordinances that now exist in neighboring entities as a model to develop our ordinance.
Would anybody like to second?
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion on that before we move for a vote? No? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries unanimously. And that was Dr. Dorfman made the motion. And
I would have said had the city attorney draw up an ordinance. Okay.
He'll be reviewing it. Whatever I come up with, he'll be reviewing it.
Rob's very good at making sure that he is where he needs to be. Okay, thank you for that. Okay, now we're going to go back to the original number 8 here, old business. You're welcome, thanks. Old business, recommendation to City Council regarding Vision 2020. Mr. Boucher.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I don't have a whole lot to say on this. I think you got the draft report, and there were a couple of members of the subcommittee at your meeting last month. In the interim, what I've done is I put together a little cover memo. I've given you a copy of the original draft again. I gave you a copy in the package of the Destination 2000, which this dovetails from, the springboard. for this document, and then comments from a couple of the board members. I do know that the council is going tomorrow night to have a goal setting and a priorities workshop for the next budget cycle, that they would like to have all the comments that they can have, and that, but they're not bringing the document itself isn't going before the council at this point. Whatever recommendation that you come up with tonight, all things being equal, since we're all day-to-day in this world, I'll have your recommendations in writing to the council tomorrow morning. So they will have benefit of your comments and recommendations for their meeting tomorrow night.
All right. Well, gentlemen, would anyone like to start with comments? Paul, go ahead.
Yeah, actually. We are charged with submitting a document to the City Council, and this is a rather complex 22-page thing. What I would recommend we do is consolidate the previously...
We're having some audio difficulties here.
Green light here.
Okay.
There,
okay. Why don't you start over, Bob?
Okay. What I would recommend is that we consolidate the previously received comments as written with addendum by numbers that correspond to the V2020 draft report. Now, there are board members here that probably don't agree with what has been received, and I would recommend that they be encouraged to write bill by item by item. And then we circulate it amongst ourselves through Bill. And then next month, we have basically a document that we've more or less agreed to. I just feel it's a very efficient way to handle a complex problem.
Well, I believe Mr. Boucher said council will be meeting on this tomorrow night. So that's our best opportunity to get our advice to them.
Well, I guess the only thing we could do is send them what's already been submitted plus whatever discussions we have tonight. But I just really think we're being ramrodded a rather important document.
And I might, if I may please interject, I just want to clarify. The council is not going to be considering the adoption of Vision 2020 tomorrow night.
Right.
But they want comments as much as practicable to assist them in their priority and goal setting for the next budget cycle. And they will be separately considering the adoption of the Vision 2020.
Then the best we can do is send them what we already have plus what we discussed tonight. And then, of course, I think we should continue this process.
Do you know when they're going to be meeting, a council meeting, when you think this might come up for them for the actual document itself?
My understanding was that the council was going to try to do it at their March 28th meeting, but looking at the tentative agenda, it looks like it's really quite full. So I can't say what meeting. I mean, it would just be strictly postulation on my part of where I thought it would fall. But you've got March 28th.
Having another short meeting between before the to wrap it up, maybe?
That would be the board's pleasure.
Madam.
That's what I'm tossing out.
Chair,
yes, Dr. Dorfman.
Comment about process, at least for me, I think it's very important. And that's differentiating what we want to pursue as individuals and what we do as an advisory board, because any individual can send in anything and say, this is what also I brought to my advisory board. They liked it, they didn't, but can send it in. If the board then sends something to the City Council, it's a separate discussion we would have whether we want to send forward dissents, because not everything has to be unanimous, you just vote on it, and if this is the position of the board, fine. And then the board and someone may feel strongly, well, I want that dissent clear. And then there'd be another vote that we're going to endorse dissents, because you always, as an individual, and just drop it off. And I dropped off some things for the city council this morning for me as an individual. It will be in their packets. And I think it's important over time, you'll find, to keep that distinct, what we do, because this communication right now is simply to the board. And, I mean, to us, not to anyone else, than what the board does. But I also want to comment that I think we, in many ways, can wrap up things more quickly than may appear, because I've given some thought after the last meeting to think about what people said. So I'm with Bill that we might be able to do it quickly. But I'll not discuss that now, because obviously there's...
Well, one of the concerns that I have is that if we process this into too many pieces, we'll be in one of our brainstorming meetings and what hell with something that actually carries as a motion. And I still feel fairly strongly that unanimous or near unanimous motions carry far more than 3-4 motions with council. And they don't always have time to watch our meetings, to hear our whole discussions, to know, you know, how passionate each of us feels about a certain issue or the discussion, you know, pros and cons of different issues. There's a lot of nuances there, and they're going to go through that again, you know, with the five of them. So
I couldn't tell whether you were addressing the point of process or that we can wrap things up.
Well, I'm trying to kind of bring up points of we can do exactly what Bob is suggesting, and we can go over it item by item and spend tonight an additional meeting and then next month getting something really concise and really solid if all of us agree on all the points. And there's so many points that it may be, you know, a little difficult to do that, and I'm not sure if that's really obvious, you know, if that's...
Well, that isn't really what I was suggesting. What I was suggesting that we take our individual comments and we consolidate them item by item. And there's no way we can recommend unanimously all these items.
Exactly.
The best thing we can do is to present to City Council a report, and then certain items there'll be agreement upon.
Okay.
And certain items there'll be great disagreement upon. So each person on these various items, we should basically report what this body recommends. In other words, we will agree on certain items and disagree on others. But rather than try to get agreement on all the items, we should put forth...
It's done. And I'm trying not to micromanage what they've already done. And I'm not sure that, you know, what would be nice is if each of us has some points that we feel very strongly supportive of or strongly opposed to, that we can get those out on the table so we can start getting an idea of where we could move with some unanimous things.
That's what we basically agreed to last month, that we would write, and some of us did, to get this discussion going.
Okay.
And the more of us that write and put our stuff in, the more efficient the discussion would be.
How many comments did you get, Bill? Did you get comments from folks?
If I can comment, I think as a board, the council already gets a lot of input, and as citizens, we can write up pretty much anything we want and give it to council. But as a board, we either would vote on it and come to a decision and give it to council, or we don't give it to them. I mean, they don't
exactly
want to be inundated by all of my comments. I mean, I might want, you know, to see something really crazy in the 2020, and unless we all agree on it, I don't think that should be in there and muddy the water, you know, as far as what the board's going to see. I think that's what Barry was trying to say in his comments. I mean,
exactly.
I would prefer not to give them all of our comments. We need to agree on.
Well, we won't be able to because
right.
On
know,
22
motion,
pages
we
of a
to.
Complicated document, there is, you know, infinite number of possibilities. There's no way we can possibly agree on everything.
Well, as I said last month, I see this board sending a motion to council saying we conceptually approve or conceptually disapprove, and we...
But a lot of the comments that John and I came up with are extremely important and should be transmitted to the council.
Well, then let's hear a couple of the things. Let's hear something from each member that they like or don't like.
Just to follow up on what he said there, in this new write-up of their thing. Of course, there's very little here that has a finite interpretation on it. But I, you know, you still have the same concerns about wastewater treatment as you did before, if you want to expand on the possible interpretations of their item E2.7 that's in here. That could be interpreted the same way as their item before, which said we're going to have tertiary treatment. And I believe that if there is the if the ultimate use of this is going to be somebody going to point to it someday and say, look, we're not going to have non-waivered standards. We're going to, everything's going to, because it says so right there. Well, I think Bob and I both disagree wholeheartedly with that statement and would not, as members of this board, advise the city council to follow that path. And if we send something to them.
With my original comments.
Would you mind to read them? Because none of the public has them. Would you mind just reading your comments so the public that's watching at home, they don't have the benefit of our packet, so that we can talk about some of the things we're liking and disliking?
Well,
so
you mean the one I originally... Shall I read that? Really?
Well, if we have any hope of voting on anything, it's going to need to be read.
I know.
And we'll need to try to decide if there's enough people that agree specifically with what you've written.
Yeah.
It could carry as a motion
and
just
there again,
as you've written.
There
it.
Again, John has also written stuff, so perhaps John should read his stuff.
Sure. John, would you like to go first? With just even if you started with one thing that you felt strongly about one way or another.
Well, I think since all of these are quasi-public documents, since they went through Bill, probably should be read in its entirety, and then we can comment upon them.
The only problem is now the document that they have submitted is not the one we commented on.
Ah, and it gets thicker and thicker, doesn't it?
Is that not correct? They submitted a wholly new document which doesn't have much of the... Yeah, Sunday.
Which is that? I obviously don't have it.
Madam Chair,
which doesn't have much of the language in it that was objectionable,
okay.
at least from my standpoint.
Yeah, John.
One of our logistics problems when we get last-minute updates
which
and things, we just.
I would like to make a suggestion of something. Perhaps I think we might agree on, and that's even in the new one. There's still this very frequent use of will, and I thought maybe they were a bit too concerned, but as I thought about it, the issues raised, I think, by John and Bill last time about having city council, which they would be advised, I'm sure, by the city attorney, to adopt as policies something when what we really mean is adopt the report to use it, that it does, because of the will, allow someone to say they made the statement, took an action, that they will do such and such. So that led me to think that perhaps one recommendation we would make, because of the strength and of the way some are worded, is that the city council not adopt this as policy, but simply as a basis for future policy discussion and development. So that gets us off that hook or that problem of saying we support tertiary treatment. I certainly don't know enough about it, but I certainly support it get discussed. So by couching to recommend that they adopt this, which is recognizing the work, but adopt it as a basis for future policy discussion and development, means they're not adopting it. They're recognizing all the topics are important, but they're not adopting it in the sense of we will do this.
I'm sure, and this is a logistics question for staff, I'm sure that city council would have a lot of time to go over vision 2020.
And word it accordingly.
It should be a vision, not a directive.
That takes care of all of those mandates that we probably cannot finance anyway.
How does
because in the end, it's up to the council to decide what to do, be directed.
I agree. That's what I was saying, and I think it's just some way of communicating. We sense that as a problem with the document.
Is that something that everybody would agree on? I mean, at this point? I mean, I'm happy if people even sound like they're leaning the same direction of saying, let's grab that and put it in something before we lose it. Is everybody pretty much – how do you feel about that, John? As far as advising the council, one thing we feel strongly about is that this should be – you know, an advisement, not actual definite policy. I mean, are you agreeing with what's going on the right side of the board here?
Oh, very definitely.
Okay. Well, what I'm saying is...
I mean, that covers a lot.
But
that covers a lot of the problems, of the individual problems that people are having. And I'm wondering if that can be one motion that we could send to council right now, whether we get anything else decided tonight or not. We might be able to do this in smaller pieces and actually move through a little quicker if we can get things that we know we're pretty got a consensus on.
Yeah, I can try to make my first motion.
Excellent.
I would move that that we send this to the council as a vision document and not a policy document.
Would anyone like to second that motion?
So what kind of a document?
A vision document, which is what it's called, not a policy document, which is what the wording somewhat dictates. Or an advisory document, or whatever you want to call it. But
did you already second that, Bill? Did you want to second that?
Yeah, I think that pretty well says it. I'll second it.
Yeah, my mic says it's on.
We're still having audio problems with some of the microphones. Can we, since we have a motion on the floor, we're breaking order right here. Let's go back to what the motion was that John made, and see if he. Could you repeat it one more time, John? Because we already had a motion and a second. So if we digress from here.
The motion is getting really complicated.
See, they do that sometimes.
I move that this document be sent to the city council as an advisory document and not as a policy document.
And John, Bill, were you still document a second policy on that?
I don't know if I like the word advisory. Some other word.
Offer another word with
that. I like the word vision.
Whatever is acceptable. You know, it's basically a bunch of thoughts, ideas.
Well, it is called vision, and vision. How about vision and directive?
Well, you know,
how does that?
The point is, it's supposed to be a vision, but they didn't stick to that.
Right. Well, how about we say we want the document?
And that's why
we
use
want
the
document to go
there
to council as
word,
vision, not as directive.
Okay. And that's originally why I wanted to use the word vision. So we made it clear to him that we didn't think this was a vision document, but we wanted it to be a vision document because it's kind of becoming a policy.
I still have personally a problem with that, even though they changed the wording somewhat on the Embarcadero.
Wait a second, though. We want to come back to the individual issues before we.
Well,
we want to come
this
back.
This is a discussion of the motion. One of the reasons why I'm really having a problem with the motion. Can't we discuss the motion?
Yes.
The
more
drastically change the layout and operation of the Embarcadero. Now, I'm saying to you that the largest single landlord on the Embarcadero is the city. Mm-hmm. And some of these things which appear to be suggested, in my view, have not been studied by anyone that I know of that's an expert on business methods and all of the other things. But things are being proposed which will have a definite adverse effect on those tenants that the city has operating those businesses. Item one, if that's true, I'm not going to sit here and recommend that our city should have a vision that is going to make us, the landlords, be in worse shape than we would be. It's foolhardy. And they want to take the automobile off the Embarcadero.
Right, and that's why the motion is to say that this document is a vision document, but then we're going to look at each one of those individual items and change them or say that they're not good items individually. However, when we're done, this document will be a vision document and not a policy document, but we might change individual documents that we do or don't like.
Who is this we you're talking about?
Us.
He's talking about our
As
board.
Our
doing,
board.
Addressing each one
yeah,
of the items
we'll
individually. Because we are not going to get through that. We'll end up tabling this until the next meeting because we won't get through all of these things tonight. And what will council have anything as far as discussion from us beyond this? Will they have any kind of a motion that we were unanimous on before they carry further? Because we might not meet before they meet and actually discuss this again. We may or we may not, depending on when it comes up on their agenda. So my idea was to try to get some general thing that we all agreed on to them without attacking each one of the individual items yet, but still planning on making future agenda items to finish up this.
Let me make another
directive nature.
Yeah, stab at it. Because I think we are in agreement, and I've been trying to just search for the words.
We're just tweaking for the words to get everybody to stay on board with
where
us.
We have to be a bit more respectful of people's efforts because they worked hard than wish list, but say that although written in the language of an action plan, we do not consider it an – I mean, this is not the motion, but it's the sense, I think. We do not consider it an action plan for two reasons. One, their charge was to have a vision, ideas for the future. And secondly, because it's written as an action plan, many of the actions have not been discussed, and so it's premature to even say – go ahead with it. I think that's what we're uneasy with. Not that they had the idea, because that was their job, to have the ideas. But they wrote them in a way that they had the idea, and let's go and run
right,
with
and
it.
And we don't have any feasibility information.
And no feasibility that the City Council would consider for future discussion. It's something like that.
And I think that their visions are good, but when they get to their goals and activities,
yeah.
They're not so good.
Yeah.
So I think if we could even adopt their vision items without the goals and activities attached.
No, but see, I think a little more struggle will get there because I think we're all agreeing. That's the problem.
Yeah, we've all got
right.
– I think we're all on the same page, but we're trying to get the wording down. And Bob, I definitely – it's not to blow off the individual issues. Right now there really isn't one of them that I would send to council to say, yes, I think you should enact this because there's not enough detail for me to – They are general ideas.
No,
that
we're
are
just
to
we're just starting out on this thing.
Right, but they've been done. They've been doing it, working on it for a few 2 years.
Suggesting take column C.
Yes, right. Because I think that we could all agree that you know we need to maintain a safe and healthy harbor. But I don't know that we would all agree that
we would all agree on how to do that.
Right, we would all agree with their goals and activities. I think.
Okay,
I think
so what you're saying is we'll just recommend the far left column.
I think we
can do that safely.
Their visions, but
well,
not
well, let's pull a little back on.
Activity.
Let's pull a little back to where we were agreeing.
Yeah,
and
I would like to see us
because there
was
still
the,
a second and a motion on the floor,
right,
so you need to retract
right.
yours. And
well, I still like that, but you see, beyond that, I would like to forward both Bob Coyle's and John Lemon's statements here because. I agree with both of them wholeheartedly. Now, a few of John's things have been changed in this new draft, but nevertheless.
But it would give them the idea.
You know,
of where
it's
coming
it's
from.
There.
Well, I completely support
and
that. I just wanted
that,
to.
We cover what John has.
As a suggestion, could we perhaps, not the exact language yet, but could we perhaps tell the council that in general, we agree with the visions, but we would recommend that no action be taken on goals and how to accomplish them, yet that those would be better to accomplish that by assigning them to the task force to come up with the realistic well, that's a good term as any, realistic means of reaching those goals. I think a lot of the goal statements are they're out of touch with reality.
I agree. And I would retract my motion, and I don't know if I can do that or not. But.
Well, what do we?
Bill, you're going to retract your second? And did you want to rephrase?
Yeah, I think I would move that we accept the vision portion of this document and recommend that the goals and are just not and I would just well maybe just do that just let's just I move that we accept the vision portion of the document and at this point not accept the goals and activities or the goals and activities portion of the document.
Just as a matter of form, we're making a recommendation to the council, so we as the board recommend to the council
pouring a sledgehammer out of this thing.
Yeah.
We're basically telling them we approve the goals,
we like the
but
vision,
not necessarily the approach. I think that's a good safe way to go because we haven't really had enough time to discuss the details. So I'll second
you
if
to,
nobody
you
else
up
does.
The wording on that, because staff's going to write down verbatim what you say.
Do you have it?
Are you done? Does somebody want to read it back in a concise way so we can try to get a second?
Okay. Bill,
with any editorial, he's sometimes very helpful editorially.
Let's try. The Public Works Advisory Board recommends the City Council accept the vision statement, but to take no action on goals and on the goals and activities section without subsequent exploration of those individual items, I think is.
You are awesome.
That's exactly what I said.
That's why he's here.
Would anyone like to second the motion read by
definitely.
Mr. Boucher? Well, we couldn't second it until we got it out there fully. You originally had the second,
just
Bill. Did you
Bill, would it be allowable to put in there, just so they're absolutely clear, they call it, it's the, it'll be self-evident.
No. You guys still want to?
Or actually just which section of the document, because when you called it the vision part, and I just want to make sure that they don't think that the vision, we're accepting the vision statement. We're just accepting the vision column or row or whatever you want to call it.
Would you guys still like to send Bob and John's comments to council just for information? Would you like to do that in the same motion, or would you like to just do a second motion for it, which would be board recommendations? But anybody want to come up with a word for it?
Well,
as advisement or comments?
Leisurely
reading? Would it?
I mean,
very good ideas.
I just really feel that, for what it's worth, no matter what form this thing reaches finally, I still think that something that is envisioning over the next 20 years or whatever it is, the expenditure of $30 to $60 million ought to have some logic to what you're going to spend it on, how much it's going to be, where the money's going to come from. To me, having a dream that you're going to complete a $50 million project is meaningless if you have no way of, no plan for finding that $50 million.
Well, not only that, but as I pointed out, we're not the same as San Diego or
right.
Orange County.
Exactly.
And I work 2 days a week at the laboratory out at the wastewater plant. I'm a volunteer for the NEP program, so we have our little incubators and stuff. And I know some of the technicians out there. And like you pointed out in your write-up, we've not just really found any major problems out there.
That believe firmly that if you don't stick with some long-term goals as knowing that when you can, you want something available, staff never does any investigating for grants that might be available.
Well, that's
to do things.
Not true.
Well, I think a lot of good ideas have been lost because we've just said we can't do it now.
But even grants,
off the idea list.
Even grants is federal money, but it's still our money.
It's still money. That's exactly
it's
right.
Our money, and if we don't need it,
and we if you don't need to spend $10 million. No matter where
wherever
you get it,
comes
it, why
from,
spend it?
It comes out of my wallet.
I wasn't defending any project or not.
I'm simply
saying that ideas in the long term are sometimes things that you need to say. Eventually, we'd love to see a swimming pool in Morro Bay. No way we can afford it.
Well, we certainly could build that for $30 million.
Yeah.
My point again, I wasn't supporting or rejecting any particular idea. You want to formulate a motion to pass them on?
Yeah. I move that we pass John Lemon's and Bob Krull's comments to the council along as such.
As the complete text of their comments.
Complete text.
Would anyone like to second that?
Nobody else wants to pass it?
John?
I don't know.
You want to second your own? Well, do you think council that should see your ideas? Then it would be a good time to second.
I respectfully oppose the motion for the reasons I said earlier, whoever. But if it comes from the board along with the board, it's, I think, more likely to get read, and it gives it another status. And unless the board votes to give that comment the status, I think it's inappropriate, and I feel the same about any of my comments. So why I oppose.
Well, that was my concern about the word. How are we sending them to the board? I mean, how are we sending them to the council? Are we sending them as advisement?
We shouldn't be sending them from this board as individual comments.
Well, I agree with these comments, and that's why I want to send them on. But
Well, then you can sign them.
I'm,
and I think I would agree with Barry on that. If I have comments, and I to be honest with you, I read through some of the comments, and some I agree with, and some I don't. I wouldn't want to advise, a whole document to be sent to the council unless I agree with it, because it does come from us, and therefore it kind of says that we are supporting whatever we send to them.
That was my question regarding what would be the wording, because if it is advisement, I would vote no for it.
But just the fact
that
I
want
the
council to be able to hear everyone's
right.
ideas.
And that's the same if someone gave us a letter and I brought it here and I said let's vote on sending this to council, and we voted on it and sent it to the council, I would have the same opinion on it. That I don't think that's our, we're not really a conduit to get stuff to the council that would have more chance of being read than other people's. I agree with you on that one.
And then Mr. Croyle brings up the fact that we should be dredging in the bay, and that's something that we haven't heard enough about, and something that really should happen, because if we want that estuary to remain an estuary, we have to start removing the dirt that comes in every year. Otherwise, it's going to fill up and be a meadow. And that's what it's so. But it's not, Morro Bay isn't going to be able to do it. It's the feds that have to do it. And for years, everybody had the idea the best thing to do with a swamp was to cover it over and put houses in. And finally, they changed that. We don't have too many estuaries left, and this is one of them. But nobody is doing a thing about getting rid of all that dirt that moves in every year. So something should be done. And I'd like to bring that up, because the city should be pushing toward the feds to do something about it, because nobody else is doing it.
I think this is probably why we'll be exploring some of these things item by item. I didn't hear a second for the motion, but I didn't hear the wording on how we would send that to council, because, like I said, if it's advisement, I'll have to vote no. So I need to know what the language on sending that because it's leaning more and more towards me saying I think you guys should mail those to council or read them in public comment. And that doesn't mean that I don't agree with some of those ideas, but I'm wanting to hear what the exact word is going to be in that place before I vote on it.
As an author of some of those comments, I tend to agree. John's comments and mine in front of the city, I think they need to be addressed. But there's probably a better way to get them there.
Okay.
I still would like to see council get all the input that they can. And I, like I said, I didn't want to send this as direct recommendations without us going through item by item, because I really think that we can agendize on our next meeting some more thorough discussion about some of these, because some of these I would support to go to council, and some of them I wouldn't. I'm concerned about just the language of how we're sending him to council.
He withdrew the motion.
Okay, so.
Yeah, but I think process-wise, and Bill, if you could just make sure I don't misspeak, when I've had something I want distributed to the city council, either, say, for an agenda packet or distributed, I've taken it to the city clerk, and that's the way to do it. And Bridget Bauer, and she takes care of it.
Yeah.
You don't even have to. I used to bring multiple copies, though. She said, "No, we have a copier." But and so it's easy to do. It always happens. Okay. So they get it, and that's the way.
I'd like to see the comments that John and I wrote before the council. In a logical, ethical way.
I think public comment's an excellent way, too. I like to see, even when board members go up, you're not going up speaking as a board member. You're speaking as an individual, and you have free right to do that like anyone else does. And I think it's good. I think it brings good ideas to the council, and it'll wait. But I still think this board's going to be coming back to some of these things individually, because there's going to be things that there would be strong support for that we will have motions for.
Well, I, for one, wrote my comments as sort of a target. In other words, this is an idea that I have. Take a shot at it.
I think that's probably...
If I'm wrong, fine. These are my comments as I see it now. As I gain more experience and more obey and the things that go on, I will change my mind. But this is the way I feel now. So fire away.
So we're going to be coming back to this gentleman.
Madam Chair, I might note that I do have in our file now, we have the original documents from Mr. Correll and Mr. Lemons, and the protocol would tell us that the city clerk gets the originals. So I'll make duplicates for our file and transmit the original to the clerk. Is that a safety zone?
Or should we pick them up or something like that?
That's a convenient...
That's a matter of convenience only.
It's a matter of convenience, and it saves you running down. Right.
Okay, so
It's not from the board, it's just getting it done.
Okay, so it will get to council, but not through the board. That's
exactly.
Fine. Love it.
Most of us could do the same thing, or anybody who wants to.
Well, absolutely. I always encourage people, when you've got comments, the council doesn't necessarily know what you think, and it's, say what you...
I've often heard, especially more often as planning commission, or I've heard it in Rex and Parks, where a commissioner will get up, address a public comment, and say, and speaking as a private citizen, we discussed, like one in this case might say, although we discussed the Vision 2020, time didn't allow to go through item by item, and there's some items that are, I think, very important I want to highlight.
Yeah.
And you go and do it. That gets it in the record. It also, the advantage of public comment, frankly,
council in for a dunking machine is really good for ratings too, but they won't cooperate with me at that. They just won't have anything to do with it. I'm going to move on to the next one, future agenda items. How about some of these 2020 topics? surprise. Staff, do you guys have any that you know need to come up for us that we should bring up right now?
We can think of nothing that's lava hot, Madam Chair.
Thank you. We can, and executive meeting, we can see if there's anything out by next week.
We can find out what we've forgotten.
Any other members have anything that you'd like to bring up for agenda items for next meeting?
Not necessarily for next meeting, but something that I would like to see on an agenda at some point is how stormwater management is taking place, or how it's handled in Morro Bay.
I know there are a lot of construction projects going on, and on the south end of town, or on this end of town, I haven't seen the same issues, but on the north end of town, I've seen a lot of uncontrolled or somewhat uncontrolled runoff of silts and stuff like that coming down, especially San Jacinto. But I just don't know what the city's policy is on stormwater control. I know that I do a lot of stormwater work in other municipalities, and they're really strict. And I don't know how, you know, I don't even know what the policy is here in Morro Bay. So it'd be something that we maybe should look at, and it's something that we maybe even it should be enforced if we do have something.
That would probably be Mr. Cunningham that would be talking to
us.
My
suggestion might be, Madam Chair, that we do have an NPDES plan. So you might want to come in and take a look at that or projects and stuff. But when you're getting down to San Jacinto Road where somebody's front yard inundated and rushed down the road.
Well, the San Jacinto concern I had was with the construction. And as well, you know, and that's my main concern because usually, I mean, there's always going to be some runoff and a lot of it you can't control. But I think when it comes to construction, that's something that the city should look at as far as sedimentation from the construction.
We
side.
Do. We usually require erosion control plans and all the NPDES requirements for phase two. But I lost the drift of San Jacinto because I actually can't think of any construction that went on there during the winter.
There's a couple big construction projects on Juniper that had, and that's where I could guarantee that's where the runoff is coming. That's going down San Jacinto. I mean, they had it.
Because I went out there after a couple of storms, and there was a lot of erosion. You know, this was runoff coming down the street. It jumped some of the curbs and gutters and eroded out some, you know, dirt in people's front yards and then carried that on.
Yeah, this was, I mean, I walked it. You know, I was just trying to figure out what was going on, what was required. And I know that, you know, I don't want to get into specifics on projects. I mean, that's not my deal. But I know that there were projects that you know, whether the city required or not, they weren't as controlled as they could be.
And staff is always very good at answering questions, both for board members and the public. If you have questions about things like that, you can go in and ask them. And if they can't help you, they'll try to send you where somebody can.
I do have one. What's NPDES? What was that quick alphabet soup?
National Pollution Discharge Elimination System.
Items, the specific items, is that the gist of what I'm getting? Was
yes.
it? Because if it is, we talked about the timing of it going to council,
mm-hmm.
And whether it's prudent to consider a special meeting or changing next month's meeting to try to, maybe once we find out when Vision 2020 is on the council agenda, to try to adjust your meeting to, is that worth?
How do you guys feel about that? Or do you feel, regardless, you want to send some recommendation to council on issues that 2020 even brought up? I mean, even if they already have 2020, I mean, some of the ideas that you guys have that are really strong, I mean,
well, I thought
there's nothing that prevents us from sending something like that to council.
I thought we already were going to send a recommendation to the adopt the vision section. So I think we've taken care of that problem.
So what he's asking is you don't feel that you want to press to have an additional meeting to try to get some of these ideas hashed out before council may take that up?
I think, well, council is going to get a recommendation from us that, okay, what you guys want, it's great. And we're not recommending how you go about it. But as far as an extra meeting goes to hash out the individual details, I think based on what John and I have written and now that it's all in the soup, that we might want to just read this over again and maybe have an additional meeting. I have no objection to attending another meeting.
I think the additional meeting idea was more to get it time frame before city council, not to give us more time to work on it.
Well, it does both.
Yeah.
But I think if you want to have a recommendation on
a document rather than a vision, you know, that concern. And if they follow our recommendations, all they'll do is adopt that and say these other need more work. So
it'll be an ongoing process.
An ongoing process. And I think, and they may even adopt the rubric of, as I say, hold the record open if they want, because it is, as has been said, a lot in people's people don't have enough time to really digest it all. And I think that it's worthwhile to pick some items and discuss them, but I don't think we should feel we've got to get it in before the council. They're going to see the same concerns we have, I assure you.
So what you're thinking is if they adopt the vision section, then when each one of those items comes up, we're going to see it again. Anyways.
And we can we can anticipate and say, whenever you get to this item, we want you to have these comments on record, whether it be the tertiary one or other ones, and we can take our time, I think, because I don't think this is going to become an action document for them for quite a while.
Exactly. And we are the board has the ability to bring issues it wants to. We don't have to wait for staff or council to ask us to advise on things. We're perfectly free to bring some of these things up ourselves and bring them to council. That's kind of what we're here for.
I suggest that perhaps we schedule for next meeting, regular meeting, take a topic, and the popular one, and I certainly want to learn more about it and understand it, is the tertiary treatment item, so that we get both the cost and I think be able to discuss and hear more about the program. So I'm suggesting we agendize that for the next meeting to discuss.
Would staff be able to have any information for us? I mean, I know we can't ask you to do any additional gathering of information, but as far as kind of giving us a little synopsis, and it would really be a good timing too for the newer members to get a little information on that.
See, we could use
and tackle a topic or a topic or two.
John's comments.
I need to run that through the administrative chain of command,
okay.
But
okay.
You know, we
can,
do have.
Can we leave it open
to
just continue the discussion
of
the 2020 issues and leave it open and see if we've got more information at the executive meeting next week? Is that some time on the agenda for it?
That's fine. I thought we could use John's comments as the basis of the discussion since he provided a lot of information.
Well, I'm fine with that too, John. He says that your comments were thorough enough for him that you wanted to discuss them next month. Would you like to do that?
What?
About the tertiary? Staff doesn't know if they can bring us more information. I didn't know if putting it specifically on the agenda would be worth it if we didn't have new information, or if you'd just like to have time set aside where we can discuss some of your comments, some of your suggestions.
Well, my own view about it is that if these are not things that the council is going to be talking about, why do we need to prepare comments for them? If we're not going to be called upon to give them a recommendation, then.
Well, how about discussion item? How about we leave it open that far?
Well, my thought on picking the tertiary tree form the public too about what are the issues, and maybe tertiary treatment is not something that we should think we need to do if we're going to be a first class community, that secondary is for our community fine. I don't know, so that's why I chose that one because of that. But whatever the executive committee decides, let's
leave
it open.
Well, I think it was an issue of legalities of whether or not staff can bring us new information.
Sure.
It's a directive kind of thing. And if we're just going to sit and talk about the same ideas we have, we might just be discussing opinion instead of facts.
Yeah, I fully agree. All I'm asking is that we keep it moving to at least next month, one item from this document from the second column get discussed, just so because I think everyone agreed there were important individual items.
Absolutely. Well, how about we'll just leave it as discussion item, and we'll figure out how much information we can get for next meeting. Because I think we should keep addressing
them. The executive committee will deal with it.
Yeah, okay. $30 million is important.
Well, it's nowhere
near that. Okay. Anything else before we call for an adjournment? Well, I'm fishing for one. I hate to bring motions as chair, so if anybody,
second.
Yes, there's a motion and a second. All in favor? That's an aye. We're going to adjourn the meeting at 7:40, and our next meeting will be Wednesday, April 20th, here at the Vets Hall at 6 p.m. And thank you, everyone, for watching, and thanks for the patience with my incredible lack of sleep this evening. I really appreciate it.
Executive meeting is Tuesday.